First off, today, as some of you probably know, is Super Bowl Sunday. And no, I'm not going to talk about Super Bowl. But I am going to just suggest that there is an alternative halftime show by Turning Point USA. You can go to their website and be able to download a link to listen to them. I haven't done it. I don't know how to do it. Can't tell you how to do it other than going to their website. Or just Google it and see what links come up. But instead of listening to music that may not necessarily be appropriate, I'd rather listen to some that's more patriotic, which is what Turning Point is providing. So with that in mind, enjoy the game regardless of who you're for. The Olympics are on right now too. So speaking of patriotism, these young athletes that have put their lives on hold so that they can compete and represent our country, I feel as devoted to and thankful for as we do our military, because they are in many cases risking their lives to prove to people that living in this country is still a blessing and an opportunity. Grateful for them. So today's topic, Ron has in the last 2 weeks talked about First and Second Corinthians, and part of First Corinthians, a large part in multiple chapters, Paul the Apostle talks about the conscience of people that are eating together and not violating that conscience. Not upsetting them because they may be weak, based on what you eat or what they eat. Was it offered to idols or not? And he spends a lot of time talking about, this interaction, that we not do something that causes somebody else to stumble. And the word conscience is an interesting word. But it also has to do with, you know, what do we remember, and or what do we forget? What shouldn't we forget, and what should we remember? Yeah. And so the purpose of this study is to, for me personally, there are times in my life that I've done things and said things that I wish I could undo or unsay. You can't. My conscience reminds me of what I've done. Even though I've apologized or tried to make it right, my conscience still bothers me. I still remember the situation. I'm still embarrassed in my mind of what had happened. Similar, I've had individuals betray my trust, do hurtful things to me, say hurtful things about me. In some cases, it's led to severed relationships, and severed employment, terminations, being asked to resign or to retire, because someone lied about me, and the reason they did that is they were trying to get back at me because I didn't give them a raise or I didn't promote them, and I didn't promote them and I didn't give them a raise because they didn't deserve it. They didn't work hard enough, or as hard as somebody else did. So they were going to get even. So though I say in my head, and even I say it out loud to the Lord and to others, that I forgive these individuals, sometimes I just can't forget. Something triggers me remembering what they did and said, and the pain comes back. So what does the Bible say about our conscience? What does it say about forgetting? What does it say about remembering? Maybe then I can do a better job at forgetting the past and remembering only what God wants me to remember. And also just want to reiterate some of the things that Alan said last week, which was an outstanding study. Alan, thank you for that. Where the heart has a brain, if you will, and that brain in your heart thinks on things. I think that's where, you know, emotion comes from, right? It's not the brain thinking, it's the heart thinking. And being passionate about something. But I think that's where your conscience is as well. I think that the pain that is caused by something that's been done whether by us or to us, it's triggered because it's an emotion, because it's painful, and something is said, something is done by somebody totally remotely not related to anything, but it triggers. You think about that. So, just reading the Bible and you hear about somebody who betrayed, one of the key characters, like David, for instance, how his son, you know, betrayed his trust and tried to usurp his authority and then went out to kill him. Saul did the same thing to him. And you read that and you think about that and all of a sudden, oh yeah, well that happened to me too. And wow. That was painful. So how do we let go of those things? And I'm not sure that I have an answer yet, but let's take a look at the word conscience for a second, and I'm going to read Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 23. So a long portion here. Forgive me for reading so much. And it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have ceased to be offered, because of that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Lord. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." What that's saying is that it only takes that one sacrifice, not the daily sacrifices, because they couldn't remove sin. But Christ, giving himself, did. Verse 13, "From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So it's forever. "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Interesting. And I'm not sure that Alan mentioned this last week, but here we go. Their laws in their hearts and their minds. It's in both places because both have the ability to focus on it. Verse 17, "And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more." So if God doesn't remember their iniquities, well, why do we? If he doesn't remember our sins, why do we? Why do we dwell on something from the past? Verse 18, "Now where remission of these, there is no more offering for sin, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Verse 20, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So, you know, the point that all of this is talking about is that all the sacrifices that were made had no effect on anything going forward. They cleansed the individual by the blood of the lamb or the goat for that moment, but it had to be done and offered on a daily basis, whereas Christ, one sacrifice, one time. These other sacrifices couldn't perfect us like Christ did. And so if perfected by Christ's sacrifice, why is it that we still have a conscience that remembers these past sins sins that have done, transgressions that have been done against us? So let's take a look at some other references to conscience. And I also want them to, since conscience has to do with remembering, look at both remembering what we should remember, forgetting what we should forget, and when and where those are both appropriate. So in Romans 2:15, it says, which show the work of the law within their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So if the law is in their hearts, then they remember it. Now, think about that in context of what Alan taught last week. It says, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So we've got both heart and mind here, where the conscience lives. The word here is synthesis. It has to do with perception, moral consciousness, or conscience. And there's a note in the Companion Bible based on what was written in 1 Corinthians. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some have some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as it a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So again, this conscience is about knowing that this was offered to an idol, yet you still partake in it. Knowing that this was an idolatry, and that God did not, was not pleased with the sacrifice, and yet they continued to go forward. It says, in the Companion Bible, the meaning of much the same, having been so long accustomed to believe that the idol to have real existence, that they still regard the sacrifice as a real one. And I think Alan mentioned this last week as well. in 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So here we have the conscience being part of a pure heart, or in contrast to a pure heart, a heart that's been purged of the sin and the thought of it. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:19 to say, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So they have turned back to their old ways. In this case, it was to the traditions that they were used to, and therefore to their sin. In 1 Timothy 3:9, it says, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience, same Greek word. And so the mystery of the faith, this secret, can be held based on knowing that we've been purged, and we have no conscience, we have no remembrance of the past, whether it be done to us or by us. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So interesting that remembrance and conscience are in the same verse. The word remembrance here has to do with recollection. It is the Greek word menia. It can also mean recital, to make mention, or remembrance. Which is why I wanted to be able to then take a look at remembrance or memory or remember, and the opposite of that, which is to forget. So remembering means to forget, not not to forget. Don't forget. And so in Psalms 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So, you know, we need to remember the things that he does for us. I read recently that the most important thing we can say to God every single day, and we should say it every single day, is thank you, God, for everything. Gratitude in everything. Thankfulness in everything. Not forgetting his benefits. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong in my life, if you will, but I've got to focus on the benefits that he's provided me. I mean, I've got a beautiful home. I'm in Arizona. I'm not in the cold that some of you are in. The sun's shining. It's beautiful outside. I have an amazing wife, amazing kids. I've got so much to be thankful for. I'm supposed to not forget his benefits. The Hebrew word there is shakash, and it means from want of memory or attention to cause to forget. So don't forget his benefits. Psalms 119:16 says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Isn't that the important thing? Isn't it when we begin to forget what he's done for us that we become ungrateful, that we are unthankful? And then that leads to a spiral of negative thoughts that create anxiety and that can lead to sin in many cases. And so what should we forget? Or remember not, as the case is. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." What a great thing to think on here. Forget the past. Focus on the present. We've got the Olympics right now, and individuals that are participating, they may fail on their first try, whatever it might be. They might fall. They might stumble. But forgetting it and moving forward is the key to not remember their failure, but to focus on their potential success. Word there is zakar. It means to remember, to be mindful, to think on, if we're not supposed to remember the things of old, not to remember the past, we're not to think on it. We're to put it from our mind, not to dwell on it. Isaiah 54:4 says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth." Forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. We've done silly things, foolish things when we were younger. We should be older and wiser and not do those things anymore, for one. But we should forget that we did them, because they've been wiped clean by Christ in his blood. Psalms 25:7, "Remember not the sins of thy youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord." This is a great prayer, if you will. Remember not the sins of my youth. He doesn't. According to thy mercy, and we know his mercy endures forever, but it's because of his goodness, not ours. Our sins are forgiven because of his goodness, not because we've done anything to deserve it. Jeremiah 31:34. "They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man or a child is born into the world. She remembers no more the anguish. I don't know if everybody's been in the delivery room. I was fortunate enough to be there with my wife, and though she had 42 hours in labor with our second child, as soon as that child came forth, there was a smile on her face, and the pain seemingly was gone for her, because the child was alive, was well. He didn't have six toes or six fingers, and when they cleaned him up, he was absolutely beautiful. The word "remember" here, the Greek word "memanu," to exercise memory, to recollect, to rehearse, to make mention, to be mindful, or to remember. And Tony and Chico, thank you for posting. These are great that you're so prompt here. In Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the past, and reaching forth unto those things which are afore. I press toward the mark of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul could write these things because he had been in Corinth, which is where they had the Corinthian games, and he had been in Athens, where they had the Olympics. And so he was teaching these individuals that had were familiar with this term, that they competed, and that there was a prize. But it's because they went forward, they didn't look back. And that's what's important. I'm reminded of an Olympic event back in the 80s, where an individual was spiked by another competitor from another country. She went down, and she didn't finish. She thought that because she was in the lead at the time, that she would be rewarded regardless, but she didn't finish. And the individual who spiked her, Zola Budd, was disqualified, even though she had won the race. She was disqualified, but that didn't allow this individual to be rewarded or given a medal, because she didn't finish. Well, for the rest of her life in her competition, she never, ever got to the same level that she had been in the past, because she couldn't forget what had happened to her. And she continually dwelled on the failure and how she felt like she had been cheated, that it robbed her of the ability and the strength, because they were negative thoughts instead of positive thoughts. The word for forgetting here, I won't try to pronounce, but it has to do with to lose out of your mind. Now, that's kind of hard to do sometimes when it's a painful image. You still see it because of the pain. It's traumatic. It's pain. Car accident, it's traumatic. And you had this picture in your mind of what had happened. But this says to lose it out of your mind. So forget the past, forget your sin, and focus on what? The blessings. So what should be remembered? What should we remember? Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Now, this is Psalms. This was written to Israel. While the chosen nation, they struggled in the wilderness, but they saw amazing things along the way. God did incredible wonders. He was a pillar of fire by night to lead them. He was a cloud during the day. He provided them manna. He fed a million plus people with meat, with quail that were easily captured. The manna was a daily thing. Moses tapped a rock and water came out that was able to supply over a million people. I mean, they saw these wonders. They saw Egypt completely swallowed up in the Red Sea. All of these wonders. And he says, remember the works of the Lord. Psalm 78:35, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. We have to remember that, you know, he's our stability. He's our foundation. And that he is our redeemer. Christ, our Savior, redeemed us from death. Psalms 105:5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Same word. Psalm 111:4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is definitely full of compassion. It's his wonderful works that this grace has shown us. For grace are we saved, not of works, lest we should boast. It's his wonderful works. It's because of his grace, because of his compassion. And so Paul goes on to write some things in both Ephesians and Philippians that don't necessarily have to do with forgetting or remembering. But I think it has, to me anyway, it is the pathway for me to begin to cleanse my conscience of the things I have done and the things that have been done to me. And so just five more references here. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to remember. We have been raised up and sat next to Christ in heavenly places, in the heaven above heaven. And it's by grace, regardless of our sin, by grace are you saved. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, and so making peace. The enmity that has been there because of sin was removed, and we now have peace. It is not based on commandments. It is based on one sacrifice and one sacrifice only, Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. The former conversation, the former life practices, if you will, the things that we might talk about, the things that we might remember, the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we put that new man on, when we truly are a new creation, if you will, we have the righteousness of Christ seen by God, and therefore we should be renewed, made new, transformed, if you will. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. There it is. How can you expect the Lord to forgive you if you can't forgive others? His son was killed, crucified. He was lied about. He was deceived. He was betrayed. And yet, he gave his life for us that we might be forgiven. And lastly, I think in Philippians 4, verses 7 through 9, is a great passage for us to focus on, to think on. It says, be careful for nothing, to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Prayer and thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hearts and minds, both. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And there we have it. The God of peace will be with us when we think on the things that are pure and lovely, if there's any praise, any good report, not the things of the past that were ugly, that were bad, that were negative, that were sins, that were lies, that were deception, that was betrayal. So we started a new year. We started a new month in the new year. We're already into February. But forget those things from the past. Reach out for what is new. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Forget the past. Forget the sins. Forget the pain. Have no bad conscience. Go forward with the peace that passeth understanding. That's the key. The peace that passeth understanding. That's a conscience that's clear and clean. That's remembering his benefits, remembering his mercy, remembering his grace. And that's it. Let me close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. You are always there for us with your word. It's how we communicate with you. We pray to you, but you have given us your answers in your word if we just search those things to find out what's true, what's honest, what's right. And let us think on those things. Let us not be betrayed in our own mind, but with good conscience go forward, knowing that you, Lord, have paved a way for us. Your way is better. And what's in front of us is the blessings that we have yet to see, but we yet hope for. And we look forward to that. Keep us safe. Keep all those who are listening safe and healthy. We praise you, Lord, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.